This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two. That is right, this is part two. So if you have found us first, please go back and make sure you have listened to part one. And now that you've listened to part one, it is time for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Also, it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Also, real quick before we do Shondaland, I need everyone to know that Carmen's serial killer trait, well, he probably has a lot, but this one is prevalent because he just did this right in front of me. Carmen will open a pack of Gushers and pour the entire pack in his mouth, and that's how he eats it. And that's insane.
No,
that's what a serial killer does once they've tied you up and before they chop all your fingers off.
No, a serial killer would chop one finger and then go, oh, I need a break. And they take one Gusher and then they go, no. All right, that was good. And then they go to the next thing and they go, oh, I am pooped. And then they would go in another Gusher.
No. The entire also, pack in your mouth. Is that how you eat Skittles too?
Yeah. Little mini pack. Little mini,
Carmen,
mini pack.
You have to eat them by color. What's wrong with you?
No, I want to taste the entire rainbow one at a time. Like, not, I don't want one at a time. I want the entire rainbow explosion all in my mouth.
I'm offended.
Can I tell you something that won't offend you?
You can try.
I ended up pulling out a come from behind win in my fantasy game.
Okay, first of all. You just said pulling out and followed it up with come from behind.
I always come from behind when I pull out.
So anyways, I thought you might win because I saw the Steelers had a pick six and a touchdown.
It was a fucking great game.
And so I was like, that's going to get him more points because I knew you had the Steelers as your defense. So I was like, oh, wow, that's, you know, because you only needed like 20 points to beat the other person. And they didn't have anyone playing that on Monday. So I knew you like had a chance.
Yeah, yeah. I ended up winning by 3 points. So
nice. It's a good one. Yeah. It's a good one. I was upset because Nick Chubb, who plays for not the Steelers, who
is he had like a gruesome injury, right?
Who does he play for?
The Washington Chubbs.
No, it's Kansas City.
Pittsburgh Chubbs.
No, it's not Kansas City. Fuck.
The Kansas City Chubbs.
It's not. No one is named Chubbs. Like, although, he is named Chubb.
Nick the Chubb. Kansas City Chubbs was the closest, though.
No, this is going to bother me. Who did they play?
This is Google. I don't fucking
Cardinals,
know.
The Cardinals.
He plays for
Cardinals.
The
Cardinals. It's the Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals.
No, the football Cardinals.
Yeah, they're in Arizona. The baseball ones are in St. Louis. The football ones are in Arizona.
We're on the internet. Everyone's screaming. Also, I have to imagine I don't
look.
It's the Browns. Also, it's the Browns. Just to be clear, it's the Cleveland Browns.
Of course, a guy named Chubb plays for the Browns. Like, what the fuck?
But he had
a gruesome injury, though, right?
It was really bad. Unfortunately, I saw it. We were watching the game, and they didn't. It was like the angle of the play was like one of the top angles, so you can't see it at all. But when we realized he was taken out and it was like really bad, because ABC said they're like, we're not replaying the injury. Like, it's too, we're not going to show the close up of the hit because it's like so bad. So I was on Twitter just trying to like see if anyone had posted an update, because I know like a lot of times it'll like hit Twitter first. And so I was like, oh, like just trying to see if there was an update. And some fucking asshole put the really close shot. And on Twitter, the videos will just play when you scroll. Like, if you stop on it, it just plays automatically. So I did see it. I did actually like think I was going to throw up for a minute. Like it was really, really bad. And he had a really bad knee injury on the same knee when he was in college that they thought was career ending. And luckily he was able to come back from that because he played for Georgia. And so like, just like, oh, my heart goes out for him, because also when I was on Twitter, like trying to find, it was just like all these stories about how he's like one of the nicest NFL players. And like, he's done so much for Cleveland since he's moved there. And he's just like so committed to the sport, but like also really committed to like bettering like wherever he lives. And he's just like this really great guy. And I just like feel for him because I really, you know, you never, it's like, why do these things happen? It's so sad. So I really just hope that he ends up being okay. But like, it was really bad. It was that is not how legs are supposed to be.
Yeah. It's from what I hear is there, people are speculating it's career ending. And only because there was already a pretty drastic injury from before on the same leg. But obviously we never hope that. We want everyone to be healthy.
It's definitely season ending, which sucks. It's only the second game. And like, he's one of those ones that people like, I'm not a Browns fan, but I know that he's good because I know a lot of people who play fantasy football, and they're all like, a lot of people are always like, oh, we got to get Chubb. Like, we got to get Nick Chubb. Like he's so good. So I like, but it's like even more heartbreaking to like learn that he's like just this great person who like pours so much of like what he gets from the sport back into his community. It's just like, ouch, like so sad. So yeah. I just like hope that it ends up being okay for him. And it sounds like he has a good support system, but it's so sad because that's like one of the things that, you know, you and I were talking about playing a sport last week. There's always like a timeline on it. Like you just can't do it forever. But you don't expect that to be like, because he's only like 27, I think. So he's just a couple years out from being drafted.
Yeah.
So it's just sad.
Yeah. Super sad.
Anyways, it did make me want to vomit when I saw the video because it was really bad.
I don't like going and watching those videos. Just let.
Yeah.
What's
Michael
the saying?
Was like,
let
I don't
that dog
see it.
Fly.
I was like, I don't want you to see it. I was like, I don't want anyone to see it. I don't know why this asshole posted this on the internet.
Yeah, some people just want to watch the world burn. Truly. But yeah, I am undefeated in my fantasy league, and it's really pissing everyone off because I really don't even know that much about... I know about football, the sport, but like other than Patrick Mahomes... No, I mean, I know the rules to football, and I understand at least the down system. And
so if I
was trying
to explain offsides, would you know what that meant?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Offsides is when...
There's an offside penalty. What does that mean?
Offsides is when the offensive line player goes into past the line of scrimmage into the defense, but encroachment is when defense goes into the offensive side.
I don't think it's not actually passing line of scrimmage. It's basically just like false start.
Well, false start isn't that a different penalty?
I think it's like the same thing, but I think
offsides and
offsides
false start.
Is if it's only like the people on the ends.
Got it.
These guys off to the side.
But I also know because I played football for a year. So I know that also like you have to have a certain number of like receivers on the line, and you have to have some people behind the line. And you have to make sure that you're clarifying with the referee before the snap, or else you can, you know, get hit with a penalty.
The referee has to get the ball in between plays.
Yeah.
Because there was one game last year where they didn't give the referee back to the ball and the time ran out. It was very bad.
I do remember that. I remember that.
It was drama. So. Okay, living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get right to it.
Three people.
We'll never
people.
Get old to me. Three people. It's all the siblings. It's Aunt Joyce's people.
You are almost right.
Okay. I got this.
You are 2/3 right.
The girl...
The niece. Okay.
And the guy with hair.
Okay.
Out of those two, those are my picks. Am I right on those?
Yes.
Okay. And then the third one is, you didn't tell me if it's a man or a woman.
I did not.
It's the oncologist, the doctor.
Yay! I get so mad when you get predictions right, but I love it when you get Shondaland right. I'm so proud of you.
I was really nervous.
I was like, he's not going to get it, but I'm so proud of you. You did it. That's two episodes in a row. You did it last one too.
Yeah, I feel good about that. I'm getting there. I still, to this day, though, the one that I'm most proud of is when I was like, oh yeah, it's the guy from the fucking bank. And you're like, how? I was like, you told me, I think you led it with it's obscure. And yeah, I was able to put two and two together on that. But I like living in Shondaland correct. So tell us about our friends.
Okay, Kimberly Elise is Dr. Swinder. She's in one episode of Private Practice. Molly
that
Hagen.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Molly
Did she
Hagen.
Play Dr. Swinder in Private Practice?
Oh. She plays someone called Angie.
Oh. What a downgrade. They live in the same universe.
Armin, it gets way worse than that.
Okay. All right.
Let me tell you about that. Molly Hagen, who was Jackie. The niece, one episode of Private Practice. She is it. That's, do you not remember her? She coughed all the blood.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I remember mm-hmm. her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, she was the one who drove her husband. She got shot in the face, right?
Yes, I wasn't sure when that episode. I was pretty sure that episode had happened, but I wasn't sure yet. But yes, she did get shot in the face in Private Practice. Yeah.
That was an insane episode. Like, the end when he's like... No, I'm good because she made me do it. She wanted me to do it. And I'm like,
she
whoa,
never
bro.
Said it, but she did want it. And then it was like, ooh.
No one wants to get shot in the face.
You're a murderer.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough. And then she was also in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And then
I think I remembered her specifically from that. I think I remembered that.
Todd Waring played Tobin. Just the nephew with hair, not board meeting. And he was in one episode of Scandal.
I don't remember him.
I don't think you're... It was just like, I don't know. Some like right. one-off guy. That was Living in Shondaland this week.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about... Do you want to do Alex and Izzy first or Meredith and Derek first?
Let's start with Alex and Izzy.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking as well.
Let me just say, I want to say one of the things that... I know I said this kind of off the cuff because I was upset, but I love that what my comment was became an entire fucking plot point for this episode when I said, I'm a little bit annoyed that Izzy didn't tell George. They're supposed to be best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And George was upset the whole time, and I was... Insert Captain Holt. Vindication!
Yeah, I mean, like, it makes sense that George would be upset about that, and I'm glad that that was addressed. But I also... stand by why I think it makes sense that Izzy told Christina, because she didn't want to tell the people that were going to react in an emotional way, because I don't
Which
think
he
she
did.
Could handle that burden exactly. So Alex is like pacing around outside the room, and the nurse is like, do you want me to put a cot in there for you? And he's like, no, I'm a doctor. Okay, not an answer, but whatever.
As if it, like, that makes it less creepy that you're just pacing
don't
around
sleep, guys. Yeah. So Alex is one of the people harassing Derek, and again, we all know I'm the president of the Hating Derek fan club, but I think Derek for the most part has proven to be a very, very good and competent doctor. A lot of my hatred for Derek is personality and relationships. I don't think if you want someone to do a good job, you should bring up that time that they had like a full mental breakdown and did a bad job. And then the thing that caused the mental breakdown to happen. So I'm like, if you want him to do a good job, shouldn't you like not bring that up?
Yeah, that's like encouragement 101. Don't talk about the elephant in the room. It's
yeah,
fine.
Like... Like
he knows
all,
he didn't forget.
Yeah. Trust me. Look at his beard. Okay. Which also he does look good with a beard.
He does. Handsome.
I'm like,
handsome
why did you
beard.
Shave that? Why did you shave it off?
Yeah.
I like beard Derek.
Yeah, I was a fan.
So, yeah, Alex is pacing. He's goes to Meredith. He's like, is your boyfriend okay? Because I was there when he tried to cut out that girl's frontal lobe and it was not fun. And Meredith is like, yeah, he's fine. That's why he's back. And Alex is like, you better be okay. I'm like, all right, settle down. We know this is a big deal. You're not making it any better.
Yeah. And that's when he goes, oh, and also your mom goes to college.
Oh, okay.
For good measure.
So, what else? Oh, so they all go in to Izzy's room, like Dr. Swinder, Bailey, the chief, Derek. And then before Alex, Izzy and Christina and George did not go, and Izzy go in or go to Izzy's room. Bailey's like, if you go in there, you're going in as her friend. She has enough doctors. Like, you're not going to go in there as more doctors. Like, you're going to be here to be a supportive person. So
can I ask a clarifying question about that scene?
Mm-hmm.
Did they announce that Dr. Swinder was going to be there in that moment?
What do you mean?
Because she started talking and I was like, who the fuck is this lady? And it wasn't until halfway in the episode that I was like, oh, that's Dr. Swinder.
I think they said who that she was in there at some point.
Okay. Because I definitely had a, when she was like, are you people done? I had a, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Hamilton moment. And I was like, yeah. Who is this kid? What's she gonna do? And I was like, in my head, I just didn't know who the fuck that was. So yeah. It later on, and then she's like, welcome to the cancer wing, bitches.
Yeah, she did kind of say that. Not the vibe. So
I didn't know if I missed something. I was like, what the fuck did I miss? What possibly could I
have
missed?
Might have. I think so, but... Weber and Bailey are going to be doing the tumors on Izzy's liver. So they ask her if she wants to harvest her eggs before the radiation starts. Derek is going to obviously do the brain tumor. And he's like, oh, it's so weird that we like didn't catch this sooner because it normally has like really bad hallucinations. And Alex is like, that's on me. That yeah. one's on me, guys. She fully told me about that. And that is on me.
I knew at that moment that he was going to internalize this and blame himself all fucking episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You should. I mean, yeah, you should have caught it sooner. But also, what'd they say? She's a 29-year-old, like, healthy yeah. person.
Also, his point, he's like, well, I'm just used to crazy people. So I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Which is like also needs some therapy, but it's fine. So yeah, the oncologist, Dr. Swinder, is super blunt, super brutal. She's like, just so you know, we are probably going to find more cancer. So like, we're just going to like beat the ever living shit out of you with this cancer treatment. Like, which obviously like there's no gentle cancer treatment. Like cancer treatment is brutal. Because they have to like, basically your body like has to attack itself. And the thing that they use to kill the cancer will kill like, you know, a lot of other parts of you. And so it's like really, really like intense, but like, she's so like, she doesn't seem like a hopeful person. And I feel like that's what you would want in an oncologist is like, we're going to do all this. And then it's going to be worth it. Cause it's probably going to work. Like there's a good chance it'll work. And I know that it's not a good chance. Like it's 5%, but like, damn, bitch.
Yeah, like, she's like, it's aggressive and it's harsh. Buckle up, buttercup. And punches yeah. her in the face for good measure.
Yeah, like spits on everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. And then Alex gets the zinger of, just try keeping her frontal lobe inside her skull this time. And I'm like, yes, no need to warm up. Like, come on, guys.
That's literally when I was like, okay, I know that I don't like Derek. And I do like Alex, but this is not the vibe. I am not on team Alex in this moment. I'm like, keep that shit to yourself. That does not help anybody. Like, do you feel better? Because you've accomplished absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, and when Bailey just like shakes her head at him, she's like, really, bro? That's what you're going to fucking do?
Yeah.
And yeah. But Derek says like the tumor hasn't grown, which is good. And he's like, do you have any questions? And that's when he's like, oh, and so Derek's like, good talk. And then Bailey's
glad
like,
I gave you this courtesy.
And doesn't even fucking go in the room.
Yeah.
Like, so annoying.
I'm just going to shit on Derek and then just make eye contact with Izzy and then fucking leave. Like,
yeah, like
she sees him.
Yeah, like I empathize with the fact that like this is obviously also hard for him, but like show up.
Yeah.
Show up. Like you're not even show like you're not even there.
People are better than no people, Alex.
Truly. Truly.
In this like, scene. In
the
this,
bare in minimum you can do is stand in that room.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it.
Yeah.
So then, oh, Dr. Swinder tells Christina, like, oh, some, like, the test results came and it's, like, worse than they thought, so they're going to have to do this really toxic treatment. And Christina's like, why would you tell her that before surgery? Like, there are studies that show that if you give a patient bad news before surgery, then the surgery goes worse. And she's like, well, I don't really care and I have time, so I'm going to do it. And then Christina's like, well, I'm going to lie to you about where Izzy is, which...
Yeah.
Full support.
Oh, absolutely. It is interesting. She's like, well, it doesn't matter if I tell her today or if I tell her tomorrow. But my calendar is empty right now, because that's apparently what all doctors can do, is just clear their calendar whenever they want. So, yeah, it was, I mean, just fucking have some compassion. It is interesting that they wrote this character seemingly at face value devoid of all compassion and empathy so far.
Yeah. And also, it's interesting that Christina is the one that's like, don't give someone bad news. But she backs it up with like, well, there are studies that show like, if
it's,
you do
yeah,
this,
it's science it's based.
Yeah. So then the chief goes to Alex and he's like, so we're going to harvest Izzy's eggs. And eggs have a better chance if they're embryos. So do you
catch
want
my
to
drift?
Put your sperm in this cup for me? Please. And it is an awkward conversation. And then every interaction they have after that is also very awkward. And it's delightful.
Yeah.
So Alex has a staring contest with the cup in the on-call room and doesn't do it because he gets paged. And then won't talk to Izzy about it also. And then goes back to the on-call room and... again, is like just staring at it. And Al or Richard knocks on the door and he's like, wanted to see how you how it's going.
Yeah.
Did you like that one?
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex is like, I'd be a lot better if you weren't knocking on the door. And then
fair.
Meredith just comes in and I love this. You left the door unlocked. That's bold.
Yeah,
bro.
So funny. Like you're just going to.
Place of employment.
Someone's just gonna walk in and Alex is just going to fucking town on himself and he's like, can you get out? Like, lock the door, bro.
Yeah. Like, my God, so funny.
I will say though, this is an intense scene.
This is a great scene.
I
think
don't
Alex does a good job.
Yeah. I'm not usually a fan. What's the name of this actor?
Justin Chambers.
I'm not usually a fan of I don't like Alex in that way, but Justin Chambers acted the fuck out of the scene.
Yeah, the blog thingy was like everyone was like sobbing while we were filming this. I believe it.
Yeah. It's when he's saying this isn't.
Yeah.
This isn't
like,
how this is supposed to
out.
Happen.
Yeah.
And Meredith's like, I know.
Just like, I know.
This is crap. I know. I hate this. I know. This isn't how Izzy and I were supposed to make a baby.
Yeah, that one is so sad.
Fucking dagger. Dagger, bro.
Yeah.
Intense.
Yeah.
But then...
So upsetting.
He does it.
Mm-hmm. And he just plops it right in front of the chief.
The thing that I don't get about that... is Weber used his spoon that he was eating with to move the bag.
He also had a plate with a sandwich and chips, so I don't know why he had a fork.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
That's so funny. I'm like, just use your hand.
Yeah.
I hate that he used his own utensil to move the bag.
Yeah, it's a weird choices were made. Anyways,
yeah.
So yeah, I love the scene with him and Meredith. Like, it's so good. I love that Meredith is like, just came in case you wanted to talk about your masturbation. It's just a very, and then Richard goes, Kareb, I'm eating. And Alex goes, it's fine. I washed my hands. And then the chief is like, did you talk to Izzy about this? And Alex is like, nope.
So but here's my jizz.
Also, Bailey, such a good episode for Bailey.
Legit.
The angel queen, as per always.
Yeah.
So she is with Izzy and Izzy's knitting and she's like, oh, well, I told them not to visit me, like they're busy. And then Bailey's like quizzing her and she says, well, I don't want you to get rusty because in a year you're going to have to be doing this. And Izzy says, do you think I'm going to be here in a year? She's like, yeah, I do think you will be in here in a year. So fucking tell me how you would do this.
Because you're going to need to teach your fucking residence, bitch.
Yeah. And then she comes back later and Izzy's finished the scarf. And she's like, you finished that whole thing? And she's like, yeah, no one came to visit me. So I've had a lot of time.
Sad.
Yeah. And they all, when they're all at lunch and they figure out that no one has gone to visit her. Sad.
It also, it was an interesting scene dynamic because George, I think George and Meredith are there first. And she's like, well, did you go see Izzy? She's like, well, no, why would I? She didn't want to see me. Mm-hmm. I'm on a pity party. She's dying, but I'm on a pity party. And then Christina sits down. She's like, oh, why didn't you guys go see her? And then Alex sits down and is like, well, why didn't you guys go see her? And they're all pointing. It's the Spider-Man meme. And they're all pointing at each other.
Yeah.
And then no one even gets to her before she goes into surgery.
Yeah. And Alex like tries. He does.
He
run
did try.
In, but like she's too late. Then they do the surgery and they're all like waiting out, in the hallway and the interns come and knock something over. And, Meredith tries to tell them to leave. And, Alex is like, no, let them stay. People are better than no people. Again, obviously, like, the parallels. And then also before they do the surgery, when Derek says, I'll see you soon, Dr. Stevens, and Izzy says, I hope so, and Bailey says, I know so. And then she says, Dr. Bailey, if something goes wrong, and Bailey says, it won't. And Izzy says, the scarf, I made it for you.
So cute. And she wears the scarf
later and she's wearing the scarf. My heart. Yeah. I love her so much.
We also get a Derek line of beautiful night to save lives. Mm-hmm. And we get it.
Yep. There it is.
Also, Dr. Swender, get out of my
another
OR
time where I'm like, why are you here?
What is the point?
Not the vibe. Can you stop? Like, again, you guys, I hate Derek. It's established, but like she needs to back the fuck off because this is not how you get a successful surgery.
No,
this
you
is
don't
not
micromanage
a first year resident that you're like quizzing to make sure he's using the right stuff. This man is like a very established and successful, accomplished neurosurgeon. Fucking Bailey's
one of 20
here,
in
like,
the world.
Yeah, Bailey's over here. Like, yeah, I've seen him do better on worse. So fuck off.
Well, and then at one point she's like, oh, you really want to use that knife?
Yeah,
like
then,
whatever.
And then Derek gets his mojo back and he's like, yeah, I do. Shut up.
Yeah. And then he lists out all the reasons why. He's like, yes, mm-hmm. because this one I get to go along the groove of the brain better. Yeah. And also mm-hmm. I can use it to resect this and blah, 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 blah. So how about you mind your own damn business, doctor, whatever your name is?
Yeah. Like, she's not the vibe.
Yeah. So he does. It was good to see him get his mojo back in the middle of the surgery. I actually really did enjoy that. That was cool.
I agree. So then when everyone's in the hall waiting, Weber comes over and he's like, what are you all doing? And they're like, we're waiting to hear. And he says, you're scared. I'm scared too. And then he just kind of pats Alex on the shoulder. And then Miranda comes out and she's like, there was no, like, we got the whole tumor. Everything's fine. She's in the whatever in recovery, but she's fine. And then they all are like, yay. And they leave. And then Meredith George, Alex, and Christina are there. And she goes, your friend is just fine. No thanks to any of you. Tomorrow, do better. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. In this storyline, I also want to point out that we see, for the first time in a long time, George and Callie interacting.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to mention Callie and Arizona and George and Callie before we got past this as well. So I'm glad you brought that up. But yeah, so George goes to Callie and she's like, why aren't you in there? And he's like, she didn't tell me. She told Christina and Bailey told me. I was the last person to find out and I don't want to talk about it. I want to work. So can I be on your service? And she's like, okay. So then he's super pissed off and he's like breaking all the things. And she has the moment where she's in the chapel and Arizona's in there with her. And she's like, I wished that Izzy Stevens would die because, like, you know, obviously the history, she was one of many reasons that her and George got divorced, but probably one of the main ones. And she's like, I wished her dead all the time. And now she, who does that? Like, I'm a doctor and I wish death on someone. Like, I'm a terrible person. And Arizona's like, well, are you in here now praying for her to die? And Callie's like, no, I'm in here praying for her to live. So, like, obviously that's the takeaway, is like, what you did in that, like, dark moment is not reflective on, like, what you're doing now.
Right.
But that comes full circle when, like, she takes George's rage smashing casts or whatever. And she's like, you need to go be with Izzy. Because he's, I don't know, what does he say? Like, he's like listing why he's mad.
Yeah. Do I have this written down? I thought I may have.
Oh, he's like, I asked her over and over again what was wrong and she lied. And then she told Christina of all people. And Callie's like, oh, and also she's your best friend and she might die. And she takes the hammer away from him and she says, George, you are my husband and you slept with her. You are the reason that I wished her dead. You owe me this. And I know that you care if she lives or dies. So then she goes with him to, like, wait to hear about the surgery.
Yeah. I will say, if there's any validity to where George is at mentally, it's the I was the only one who said, Izzy, what's up? You're clearly
Meredith, something's wrong with Izzy. Alex, something's wrong with all Izzy. Of us.
Yeah, like he called it a mile away.
Yeah.
And she never said anything to him.
Yeah.
It is. I see where the frustration is coming for his character development.
Yeah.
But Callie going, you're the reason I wished her to die. So, like, let's fucking go and make peace with this shit now.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
And then after the surgery, Alex is with Izzy. She's still asleep, but he's like crying and he says, I'm here, and holds her hand. And Bailey, that's when Bailey walks by and sees her and she's wearing the scarf. At the very end, Alex is laying in the bed with Izzy and she starts to wake up and he says, I snooched into a cup for you today. Snooched, which is a term I have not heard.
Never.
So I was curious. Yes, if you had heard it, so good to know. You have not. And she goes, thank you. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, who the fuck says snooched? You could say
that's a good
jacked
question.
Off, splooged, masturbated.
Came.
Like, came, beat your meat.
Oh, like, don't say that. Not that one. We don't need more examples. Thank you for your service, though. I appreciate
welcome.
What you've contributed so far. But yes,
I was ready to
was
make those analogies
me.
Keep on coming.
Don't. Okay, so before we move on, I do think we need to take a wee moment break to hear a word from our regional sponsors.
And we are back.
Thanks so much, so regional sponsors. So now,
everyone's favorite moment, living in Sean. Oh, wait.
So Derek proposed. This is where you're wrong. All right. Obviously, it's not the season 5 finale.
Correct.
It's the season 5. Episode 19. So at what point in this episode did you realize he was going to actually propose, and she was going to say yes instead of no, because he proposes three times in this episode and she says no two of them.
I knew when Weber was being weird about the elevator, I was like, yeah, okay, Derek is doing something. I don't like that he opened the door and it's clean face Derek there. Like,
who, yeah, why did you shave? It looks so good.
You took our Derek from us, Derek.
But not when he was talking to Weber, when he was talking to Weber in the room beforehand,
he had the razor in his hand.
He had the trimmer in his hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when he shaved.
Yeah. So, but I also was confused leaving that scene because they just said, I want to spend the rest of my life with each other. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually understand, oh, they're officially engaged, until she told Christina. Because okay, Jessica and I used to tell each other, oh yeah, rest of our lives, let's do this. But there was no proposal until there was a proposal.
But it was a grand gesture.
Yes, I get it. The grand gesture was...
But he says the words, I'm not going to ask a question.
Well, that's when I was like, okay, so he's not going to ask. He's just going to say, marry me. And then put the ring on her hand and then walk away and say...
Marry me is a question.
No, marry me is a period, is a statement.
Is a marry command? Me? That's what you want to start with? A command? Don't tell me
I'm
what
not
to do.
Saying it's healthy, but he said he's not going to ask a question. I thought he was going to be like, this is a statement. But yeah, so when Weber was being weird about the elevators, I was like, okay, here comes something in the fucking elevator scene. Like, something's going to happen. Yeah. It was cute,
name
though.
It elevator love letter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I was like, oh yeah, that's a good name for,
it,
you know,
it checks
episode.
The box of like being a grand gesture without being like a thousand roses. You know
that
what I
you
mean?
Take away when your ex-wife calls you.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense for them and their journey. And I don't hate it as much as I feel like I want to hate it.
No, it was very cute. The one thing I will say is when he's like, I'm not going to get on a knee. And I'm like, yeah, Derek, way to be progressive. Way to be a feminist. Way to try to tear down the patriarchy. Don't get on one knee like me. And Jessica made me get on one knee anyways. But, you know, here we are.
She's tearing down the patriarchy by telling you what to do.
So actually, you
have
know
you
this story, right?
Have you watched the Barbie movie yet? I swear to fucking God. Carmen hates women.
Okay. I have a pink denim jacket. I love women.
You're not allowed to wear pink.
Oh, okay. I also can't even look
Tell
at rainbows
story
or
of
unicorns.
How you proposed.
I was just going to say, when I did propose, I did not get on one knee. I did propose, but it was, I said the physical phrase, will you marry me? But we were like, we had the embrace, like a few moments had passed by. We started walking away from the place that it happened. And she goes, wait, you didn't get down on one knee. And I was like, well, no, not in these pants. Like, obviously I'm not going to do that. And she said,
it
well,
was 2018 pants were tighter.
Yeah. My pants
no,
were more
2017.
Fitted.
It was 2017. Cause we got married.
Yeah. 2017. 2017 would have been the fittest those pants ever were, and now they're toit, or just not. I've had to buy new pants.
Now they're just joggers.
No, I have to cut them. Now they're just fucking cut off, tear away pant shorts, tear away jorts.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, anyways, I have to be like Kim Kardashian. I have to get sewn into my pants now.
So Carmen couldn't get, well, he said he couldn't, but then he did it anyways.
I said I wasn't going to. I said I didn't want to, not in these pants. I didn't want to get the pants dirty. It was not about the tightness of the pants. It was about the quality of the pants. I said, not in these pants. I had full mobility in those pants. You know what I mean? So anyways, no. I got done. I got. Carmen, I need you to explain. What do you mean by that?
I don't know what you mean. You could walk around in your pants like solid purchase. Like, why are you making that face and that tone of voice like it's about your wiener?
Yo, I fucked in those pants.
That's no, you didn't.
I didn't. I took them off.
Okay, so you got down on one knee.
But then
the
I got down on one knee and I was like, all right, Jessica, will you marry me? And the ring was already on her finger. She'd already said yes. And she's like, yes. And I was like, okay, this was just literally for no reason. And I was annoyed, but I did it. Because I love my wife.
Fun fact. We were pretty confident that, and by we, I mean Jessica and I, were pretty confident that Carmen was going to propose on the trip to California that they were on. And this was like, what, one of like the first nights that you were there, right?
It was the first night. It was the first night. Because
and they were going to a nice dinner.
Yeah.
And Jessica texted me and was like, he's not proposing tonight. And I was like, what? Why are you saying that? And she goes, because his pants are really tight and I would see the ring box if it was in there. Meanwhile, Carmen had spent like 20 minutes in the bathroom trying to find somewhere he could put the ring and not have it be obvious. So he's like trying to shove it in his sock, in different parts of his pants.
The box. And then he just, the ring
and then
box.
He just took the ring without the box. Yeah. That's what you landed on. So again, 2017 guys, pants were a lot tighter. And so I'm like, Jessica, you maybe it's in his butthole, like you don't know what you're talking about. Like, and then, you know, 4 hours later she calls me and she's like, we got engaged. And I'm like, yeah, no shit.
Well, we also were in a fight earlier.
Of course you were in a fight.
And we were in a fight earlier, and she basically was like, you don't even have a ring, what's the point? And I was like, in my head I'm like, oh, I'm in the fucking clear, this is great. So,
good times.
And here we are. Anyways,
but
Derek's grand gesture.
It's so funny to me when boys are nervous, even though they know the person's going to say yes. Like, I went with Michael to pick out my engagement ring before he proposed, and he was still so nervous when he proposed.
My thing was, once you propose to someone, you can't undo proposing. You've at that point, whether they say yes or no, you are someone who has proposed to someone.
Yeah.
It's like you have been engaged. You live your life, whether this person dies, whether they break it off, whether you get married or you get divorced, or you get married and you go on with the rest of your life. You have proposed to someone. If Jessica and I get divorced, I will always have been married to her. If I proposed to her and then we broke off the engagement, I would have always had been someone who was engaged.
You know,
there's just a finality
how time
works. To it.
I just like don't. I just think it's cute.
But that was the thing that was making me nervous. It was the finality of it. I'm like, okay, there's once I do this, I can never be someone who's never proposed to someone before. That person, that old Carmen, can't come to the phone right now because he's dead.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's true for like a lot of things. So I don't understand that. But I hear what you're saying. It just doesn't resonate with me.
That's fair. Well, you didn't propose.
Well, no, but I get proposed to constantly.
Yeah. Proposed to have sex.
I have been proposed to more than one time. I've only said yes one time, though.
Really?
Good times, guys.
Were both of them Michael?
No. Only one of them was Michael.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Patreon.
Well,
Patreon.
I don't know that I want it on the internet, even if it's behind a paywall.
That's fair. Well, it's a lot of money. They have to pay $1,000 to hear that story. If you want to pay us $1,000, Kelsey will tell you the story of
when we get
proposed.
Famous enough to go on a tour, take the podcast on tour. I'll tell it at a tour stop.
You heard it here first, folks. Wait till we're famous.
Make us famous. Okay.
Patreon.
So. Tell your friends.
Share this to your Instagram and Facebook account.
Okay, so Meredith is at the house and Derek comes to the house with his suit. Like, he's bringing his belongings back because they have forgiven each other, even though he didn't apologize, because why would he apologize? Meredith's like, do you want some coffee? And he sits down and just puts the ring on the table. I do not know if it is the same ring. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I would have to imagine it is the same ring because his mom made a whole big deal about how it's like. And also that makes what he did even more of an asshole thing. He's like, I didn't give this to you for Addison, but you get to give it to Meredith. It's a family heirloom. Let me just hit it with a fucking baseball bat.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. He sucks.
In that moment.
So he puts the ring down and she's like,
not like
no,
this.
Not like this. Today is about Izzy and I can't, and about you coming back to work and being okay. And like, that's what today is about. And like, this is not how we're getting engaged.
Yeah.
And he's like, cool, I'm going to take a shower. And she's like, great. This is great. This feels amazing. And so then was there anything else that happened at the hospital with Derek and everybody that we didn't cover in the Izzy thing?
Well, prior to the surgery.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
She brings him the ferry boat.
Well, before that, he's in the OR by himself, like kind of like like regrounding himself in the OR and what it feels like and like where he wants to be mentally. And he's just like going over everything and he's a little shaken. He starts over and he's like going over everything. So I liked that moment and it was very quiet. That moment was done in like quiet and I liked that a lot.
You know, in the eye of a hurricane, there is quiet.
There is quiet.
For just a moment.
And then, yeah, so then they're scrubbing in. He's scrubbing in with Richard. And Meredith comes in, and which Richard says it's not a good time, and she just gives Richard the ferry boat scrub back, and she's like, "Well, he should have his ferry boat scrub cap because he loves ferry boats." And then she leaves.
Cute moment.
Yes, very nice. And Derek comes after her and is like, "I'm not ready," and she's like, "You are ready. Like, I know you can do this." And he's like, "But I need to know that no matter what happens, you're going to be with me." And she's like, "No. I'm not going to stand here and like let it be okay if Izzy dies because we'll be together. Like, I love you and I know you can do this." And then she walks away.
It was an interesting, I had to watch that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
Which was she saying that I need to be allowed to be upset with you if Izzy doesn't make it through the surgery? Is that basically what she was saying? Like, I need the room to grieve, and if that means being angry at you, I need that to be okay and not be engaged if she dies. If you kill her, I need to be able to be mad at you. Was that what, like,
I mean, I think maybe, but also I think it's about him being she's like, "I'm not gonna get engaged to you because of Izzy. Like, I don't want you to have proposed to me because you're uncertain about something else. Like, you need to propose to me because you're certain about marrying me, not because you don't know if you can do a surgery." Like, it's just like not the way you want to get engaged.
Yeah, no one wants that. No one wants that. But yeah, I thought it was a good scene. He basically comes out and he's like, "Love me," and she's like, "I do." The fuck? Like, I just need you to shut up, dude. It's
also
okay.
When Derek goes into the surgery after that conversation, it is like very slow-mo and like dramatic music, but it doesn't feel melodrama. Like, it feels like the appropriate amount of like appreciation for the gravity of what, like, Izzy being the patient, Derek coming back after this, you know, mental breakdown situation.
Yeah.
So I know, like, a couple weeks ago we had that really drama thing and I was like, I hate this, but this I feel like was not anything like that at all.
Yeah.
He says, "It's a beautiful night to save lives. Let's do it." He does it. He fucking gets his mojo back. I love it. Again, never hated Derek as a doctor. Well, that's not true. I'm sure I have hated Derek as a doctor, but I mostly hate Derek as a person. Good doctoring.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene where Richard is in like the lounge and Derek's there and he's like, "Why aren't you and Meredith celebrating? The surgery went so well." And Derek says, "She turned me down twice. She says she understands what happens and she forgives me, but I don't know." And Richard says, "Ah, you showed her your dark side. She doesn't strike me as someone who's afraid of the dark," which I love that line. That's amazing. That's such a good line. And Richard says, "Do you know that it was Meredith's idea to ask Izzy if she wanted to harvest her egg so that Izzy could have a chance at the future she wanted? The future, Derek. She was confident that you'd succeed today. Meredith believes in you." And that is what, like the switch flips for him. And he's like, "Oh, she just didn't want it to be about this. She wanted it to be about us." And that's what I think the elevator scene is it's about them. It's about their journey together, about her journey as a surgeon, his journey as a surgeon, how they make each other better. Even though sometimes they do the opposite.
Right. It doesn't always work the way that we want it. It just happens.
So yeah, Meredith tries to go get on the elevator. The wrong one opens and Richard's like, "Not that elevator." It's very funny to me.
Yeah.
Then the elevator opens and Richard goes, "We'll go on." And Derek goes, "Hi, come on in." Like, it's a fucking infomercial. But I do like it. It's the CT of Katie Bryce, so the girl from the pilot. I have his whole speech. Do you want me to read it or do you just want to talk about it?
No, go ahead and read it. Read it.
Okay.
Is it a lot?
It's medium. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
It was the first surgery we ever scrubbed in together on. Our first save. Right here is a cerebral cyst. Tough save, but we did it. I kissed you in the stairwell after the surgery. And this right here is where Dr. Bailey kicked you out of the surgery because she caught us in your driveway in my car.
Which and I forgot about.
And right here, this was a 7-hour craniotomy and you held the clamp the entire time, never flinched. That's when I knew you were going to be an incredible surgeon. Beth Monroe made our clinical trial a success by surviving. You talked me into putting her under. That's when I knew I needed you. And this is today, the post-op head CT of Izzy Stevens. See that right there? Tumor-free, because of you. You got me into the OR. If there is a crisis, you don't freeze, you move forward. You get the rest of us to move forward, because you've seen worse, you've survived worse, and you know we'll survive too. You say you're dark and twisty. It's not a flaw, it's a strength. It makes you who you are. I'm not going to get down on one knee. I'm not going to ask a question. I love you, Meredith Grey, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And she says, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum.
So, good stuff.
It's very cute.
Cute, big gesture, which is, you know, what Derek wants, but not a big gesture that doesn't make sense for Meredith, which I like because the stupid roses are not Meredith, that's Derek. So, it's a big gesture, and it means something to her because it means something to them. Also, yeah. Good news is he has no tumor in her brain. So that's the Derek and Meredith proposal and engagement.
Also, right before this, I will say, to you, Kelsey, I was a little bit checked out of the conversation because my computer told me, hey, you have no storage on your computer left anymore.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So, it's good. I made some storage, but the recording had stopped on my program here, so I'm gonna have to use the Zencaster file, the B team file. But while I was doing that, I just wanted to make sure, I don't know if you'd said this, there was that scene where Weber is talking to him and Derek's like, she turned me down twice, and I wanted to be like, bro, you fucking like,
was it those were not real.
First off, you half-assed those proposals, and don't put that on her. You were not in the right mental space. Like, fuck off.
Those were if she had said yes, then those would be bad proposal stories.
Terrible.
Like, Derek came back to my house after being drunk in the woods for like a week straight and just put a ring on a table because he needed a confidence boost to go back to work.
And we've never been more in love.
Yeah, like that's like, and I'm not saying that every proposal needs to be like a big deal. Like, I was always very upfront with Michael. Like, you don't need to propose to me in public because I'm very extroverted, but he's very introverted. And I didn't think that would ever be something he would want to do. And so I told him, I was like, you don't need to do this. Like, if you want it to be like super private and personal, that's fine with me. Like, know that it doesn't need to be like a big deal. And I think that's true for every couple. Like, there's different things for everyone. God, who was I talking to lately that like said they got engaged like over a text message or something?
No offense. No offense. Woof.
I don't even know. It was like a conversation of like, well, I guess we should get married now or something like that. I don't even know who it was, but it's like everyone's story is different and that's fine. I don't think you have to be like, you know, a big gesture, a billion lights, a big sign in a public place that says, will you marry me? A 1,000 roses on a beach or whatever. Like, it doesn't, as long as it's right for your couple and your journey, then I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's my opinion.
I would agree with that.
And I get yours. You guys were super private. Like, it was just the two of you.
Well, yes, but we were on top of public,
but like it was at night, just the two of you, like out and about
on top of the convention center overlooking the San Diego Harbor.
There it is. Lovely, lovely visit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Derek and Meredith and everything.
I love it. I'm trying to go back and think I'm looking through if there's any other notes that I had. Obviously, that's the last scene that we get is with Meredith and Christina, and she is, I'm engaged. I broke up with Owen. And then Alex has fucking snooched into a cup. It's fucking weird. I'll never get over that. And then obviously, you know, we have Hunt getting his PTSD looked at, his brain scanned.
And he apologizes. Yeah. Miracles.
Also, I said this to Kelsey in between or right before we started. If you haven't heard last episode, or if you had heard, obviously there was a lot of notes for the interns. Not a single fucking note that I wrote for the intern line.
Yeah,
this
we
episode.
Really had like a drop off. Like they were a huge drop off in the last episode, and absolutely not at all involved in this episode. So that was
nothing
fun.
Yeah. But Pierce still had the marker on his eye, so they were at least being consistent seeds to the story. So. Let's rate it.
I'm going to say 4.3.
I'm not too far off. I'm saying 3.8.
Ooh, you went under 4. That's bold.
Here's the thing. Last episode was just so fucking good.
Last episode was so good.
Like, so fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Derek and Meredith are engaged because I called it. I didn't get the right timing. I'm happy that Izzy has no tumor, but she's still dying on the season 5 finale. It's hard. It's hard when this is the episode that comes right on the heels of the other episode. I think if I just watched this one and we didn't just watch the other one, I think it breaks a 4 just barely. I think I'm at like a 4.1, 4.2 closer to you. But I can't get over how good last episode was.
It was really good.
I'm sorry. If this is one of your favorite episodes out there, people, I am sorry.
I will say when I was reading the blog on this one, the writer was saying they didn't want to do any like crazy medical thing because they wanted this episode to just like sit in itself and what it was and like what it meant for like Izzy and Alex and Meredith and Derek and Christina and Owen. Like they didn't want to have like a giant medical thing also happening. So that's why that way it is like more chill.
It is a giant medical thing though. I mean, it is Izzy.
Yeah, Izzy but is like the not, you know, thing. A face transplant or intestines right. in the hand or a right. plane crash or a train crash, whatever.
Aunt Joyce does die.
She did die and then continued to have a heartbeat.
Right.
I
feel bad. But I also, in between these episodes, finished watching the newest episode of Ahsoka. This episode was not as good as the last one. Fuck.
Well, we started watching the Clone Wars, so eventually I'll get to Ahsoka.
There you go. Again, Rebels is more relevant.
We're also going to be watching Rebels.
You've got a long way to go.
I am aware.
Yeah. Then once you finish those, then you have to watch The Bad Batch, apparently.
Oh, yeah. I actually did want to watch that, though.
I started halfway through. I tried so hard. This is neither here nor there.
Okay. So
what do I need to predict for you?
When will Meredith and Derek get married? And what will it look like?
I don't know that they're going to get married.
Okay. They're just going to be engaged forever or they're going to break up?
They're going to break up. Or Derek, or they'll kill Derek, or they'll kill off Derek. Because here's what I...
Simultaneously?
No. Different dramas. They need all the content they can get. I have a hard time... The only reason that I say this is Meredith stays in the show through season 19. I don't know that Derek is still in the show. I am assuming because he got a lot of other acting jobs that he is not in the show through season 19. That's my assumption. So if I use deductive reasoning.
When you say a lot of other acting jobs, what are you referring to?
Enchanted.
Okay.
Also, I can't actually look up his IMDb or else this will spoil it for me.
Yeah.
So... I can't be like, oh, what else was he in? Oh, yeah, 5 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. Well, fuck. I didn't actually do that. I haven't looked him up. So either they break up or he dies, but there's got to be a way that they explain that he's no longer in the show and she is. So I think that the breakup happens or he dies. He died. No, official prediction. He dies on the way to the wedding.
Okay.
Season 8.
Okay. Oh, that's a long engagement.
Well, no, those 3 seasons are over the course of 6 months.
Oh, well, you're right. That's long my engagement prediction. For us.
Yes. Yes.
Normal engagement for them.
What else do I need to predict for you?
Alex and Izzy.
Alex is going to take the fertilized eggs and raise a child after Izzy dies in the season 5 finale.
Who carries that child?
Ava.
Okay.
No, I don't know. He finds a surrogate. He's making doctor money because he's the future of the hospital.
Okay.
Maybe Adele carries it.
Stop. Oh my God. George
and Callie are definitely getting back together. And Arizona too. So George and Callie and Arizona are going to have a threesome.
Okay, what about George and Izzy? Are they still friends?
They're still friends. I don't know what that looks like, but
yeah.
Also, I don't think that George and Callie and Izzy and Arizona are going to actually have a threesome, because Callie's going to be busy having a threesome with Mark and Han while Lexi watches. I do think that this kind of like broke the seal on their friendship. So I hope to see more about around their friendship piece. Mm-hmm. But the Izzy and George side of things, I hope he gets over his own shit, because
yeah,
like what a stupid fucking reason to not see your best friend, quote unquote, die.
What about Christina and Hunt?
I'm torn on this one. I don't know that they're done being romantically involved. I think in I'm trying to also put myself into the mind space of when they wrote this show and like when things were happening. I think there's like a final will they won't they that happens with Derek and Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's accepted the proposal. Although anything can happen with Shonda, obviously. But I think that Christina and Hunt take over the will-they-won't-they relationship. Because you have Mark and Lexi together. You have Derek mm-hmm. and Meredith together. You have Izzy and Alex together. George is kind of in his own limbo. I assume that him and Olivia end up together. I'm kidding. Although, where is Olivia?
I knew you were going to do it.
So I just feel like Christina and Hunt are going to be taking over the will they won't they situation for the show for now.
Okay. Derek and Mark.
Yeah. Have I predicted the timeline on when they reconcile?
Maybe, but I don't remember.
They will for sure reconcile before the end of this season. But I need Weber, now that Derek's back, to apologize to Mark in some way.
Wait, Weber? Derek?
I need Weber to apologize to Mark. Because he was like, hey, Mark, where's Derek?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone at this point, everyone needs to apologize to Mark, really, realistically.
I agree. Weber needs to apologize to most people also.
Yes. He's last on, he's on the bottom of my list when I write up everyone's names now, because I'm mad at him. So... yeah.
But so wait, when do you think that they're going to get over?
They'll reconcile before the end of season 5.
Okay.
But Mark deserves an apology from Weber within the next 2 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess predict Izzy. I mean, I know you think she's going to die in the season 5 finale. And be done with the show. But do you have anything like more immediate, like they got the tumor out, what now?
I really don't know. I need to see the next episode to figure out kind of how the rest of the season is going to wrap up and how they get to the point of killing her. Mm-hmm. So I'm not prepared to make a prediction on that, but I am hoping that there's some level of symmetry and beauty that someone cuts her LVAD wire.
Don't know if she's going to be on an LVAD wire. I don't think they give those out for cancer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe the radiation gives her heart failure.
Maybe someone will cut her
radiation wire?
Chemo tube.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I got. Any other predictions I need to make? Or are we good?
I don't think so. I think that's it. Do you have anything to say?
I don't, but I think you do.
I do. Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this one. We hope you're enjoying the new format. If not, please let us know. And if yes, please let us know. You can send me an email at graysacademypod@gmail.com with anything you feel like we're missing or you just have thoughts on, or if you just want to like tell me what's going on in your life and like where you are in your rewatch, your favorite episodes, whatever. If you want to join Patreon, you can be on our Discord and chat with us there. You can follow us on Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod, carmen.gabriel.official, Chaotically Kelsey. You can share us on all the things, rate us, leave a review, make sure you're subscribed, follow everywhere you can. Please, please, please keep telling your friends and your family and anybody you think would like the show. And if you see Carmen walking down the street,
just remember, no spoilies. Don't even think about it. And we will see you all in the next one.